you've ever dreamed of sailing off to exotic locations, or if you just like to cruise the coast or your local lake, then this podcast is for you. Join us as we interview cruisers from around the world and share our own cruising and travel adventures. This is The Sailing Road. Well, welcome everyone. This is a special Sailing Road podcast from your official headquarters, Hurricane headquarters in Ocoee, Florida, which is just outside Orlando, Florida. We are in the midst of Hurricane Irma right now.
Yep.
And so we figured we're sitting here bored, nothing else to do.
Why not record a podcast?
We better do a podcast.
Tell you guys what we've been doing all week and where we're up to right now. What time is it? It is 7:20 on Sunday evening right now.
And what's the date?
Today is the 10th.
So September 10th, 2017, Hurricane Irma is attacking Florida as we speak. Oh. And the
power just went out.
Power
keeps flickering.
So you're going to probably hear a lot of stuff, maybe weather alarms and things going off in this podcast. But the laptop's got battery, so we should continue recording no matter what. But we've had a absolutely crazy week here. Last weekend, we were in Fort Lauderdale visiting friends for Labor Day, doing some boating and things, and saw this hurricane that was getting closer and closer, and by the end of the weekend, last Monday, they pretty much had plotted the course that it was likely going to hit Florida and the islands.
Straight into
Miami. Yeah, and it did not look good. So we got home on
Monday,
Labor Day, and immediately started preparing, and we've spent the whole week preparing, as everyone else has done, all the way through Florida, because this one just looked like it could hit anywhere and everywhere, and it's actually coming true. So that's what we've been doing. We've been prepping the house, the yard. We've done trimming trees and everything you do to get ready for a hurricane. The most important part is supplying the snacks and booze.
Which you're going to gain probably a good 10 pounds this week because of the snack and the booze and just being bored. I've worked out all week, but now I'm just like, oh, I just want to do nothing but eat. So.
Yeah, I think we've determined that we're not sure what's worse for you, the storm itself, that you could get hurt in the hurricane, or the fact that you probably take a year off your life from eating bad food, because you feel like, oh, we're just, it's a hurricane, we deserve something, so we've been...
Well, you gotta have easy food, and usually junk is the easy food, so, but we've been lucky, we haven't lost power thus far. It has flickered on and off in the past couple hours, but it's came, you know, directly back on. So we've gotten very lucky. But if we do lose power, we are pretty.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. We're as far as hurricane prep goes, I think that being a cruising sailor actually preps you well for hurricanes because
it gives us everything that we need to be able to camp in our house.
We are used to being kind of off the grid in the boat, so we essentially went and robbed everything we could out of the boat.
We got the Coleman grill, we got the generator, we've got coolers. We're going to be able to plug the refrigerator up to the generator, so that'll be our main thing that we use for the generator for. So
we got to keep the beer cold.
As long as we have a refrigerator, we can keep the beer cold. Yes, absolutely. So that's the main thing that we're going to use the generator for, and then of course we'll have some fans, and because it's going to, you know, we're in Florida, so it's going to get mucky.
Well, and
quick
depending
once the rain stops,
if we lose power, which likely at some point this evening we will lose power. And depending on how bad it is, we could be without power for days. And so the other thing I've kind of got planned is I've pulled the air conditioner, portable air conditioner off the boat, and we can put that in our bedroom window.
In one room, and all of us just sleep in that one room.
Yeah, just have everybody sleep in one room, and at least we're comfortable to sleep at night. So I think it's, you know, being sailors, you kind of, we're just used to prepping for a weekend or a week away.
Yeah.
Being so totally self-sufficient, I think it prepares you better for storms like this. So
And we got the boat prepped. The boat, we did not take the sails off the boat. You just double wrap them,
make sure they were
extra tight and secured. And we have our steel storage shed that it's snugged up against, and hopefully the wind, that will block a lot of the wind from the boat. And, you know, I think the shed
I'm assuming, I think the previous owner had told me that it's like a 23 by 20 foot storage barn, metal storage barn. But I think he had told me that it's rated for hurricanes. And you go inside, it's got really beefy, heavy metal beams, and it's poured in a huge concrete slab into the slab. So I got a feeling that, you know, that would hold. I mean, fortunately, it looks like we're going to get less wind than we thought, but even 100, you know, it could get up to 80, 90 miles an hour tonight. And if that's the case, it's good to have a little bit of wind block on the boat.
And thank goodness it's as big as it is, because we just put our son's brand new car inside of the shed. Yeah. So hopefully it extra stays safe space. Inside of the shed. So that was extra garage space, because my car is in our regular garage and the other half of the garage is not capable of holding a car at the moment. So
I stripped everything else off the boat I could. I, like I said, I left the sails there. I just wrapped rope really tight around them and making sure that they didn't get damaged at all. And then
you sealed up the
if
hatch.
They do, then, you know, we could use some new sails, I guess. But I did. The other thing is, because we talked in the past that, I mean, a McGregor's not meant to go offshore. It doesn't have really good hatch seals. So at least on the sliding hatch. So I taped all that off, because if you got a, you know, 100 mile an hour winds for hours on hours,
going sideways,
it's going to just blow more and more water into the boat, just more stuff we have to clean up.
Right.
Nothing that we couldn't
and
fix,
we didn't board up our windows or anything. I guess we just get so comfortable being so far inland that we didn't find it necessary.
I've been through so many hurricanes that, you know, in Charlie in 2004, which was really bad. And, you know, our entire neighborhood at the time was probably a couple hundred homes. I didn't see a single window broken out, and we had trees down everywhere. So in Central Florida, it's more about trees falling down into your house rather than enough speed of it picking up something and throwing it through the window.
And that's the main thing that we're concerned about, is the trees, because where we just previously moved to, we have three oak trees surrounding the house, and then there's pine trees in our back. Like past our backyard, we have like a big lot that's just trees. So we're just concerned about trees. But other than that, we're doing good.
Yeah.
We're having a hurricane party.
We're trying to make it over.
Here goes more warnings for us, you guys. What does that one say?
We got a tornado warning. So that's one of the things we're worried about tonight, is tornado warning. So the storm came in this morning. It hit the Florida Keys around Cujo Key, which is between Marathon and Key West, about
7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, 7, 8 o'clock this morning. And it's been moving really slow since it left Cuba. It took a long time to come off of Cuba and come over to the Keys.
I feel like it's been moving slow, period.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's the other thing. We've been prepping since Monday. So by the time you get to the weekend, you're thinking, okay, this thing's going to come. And it's not really going to hit us hard until tomorrow morning. But it hit the mainland tonight around 5 p.m. at Fort Myers. And it seems like they're worried about a lot of storm surge coming in. That's all going to be coming in the next couple hours. And we're just starting to feel the outer bands. We've had pretty light rain all day.
I think we've hit about 45 mile per hour winds, but that's been gusting, not a constant.
I don't even think we got that high yet. But
we did. I was checking the phone.
Well, I take that back. You are the expert weathercaster.
This is like my dream job, you guys. You have no idea. I would love to be the meteorologist, like Jim
Cantori.
Cantori, who gets to stand in the street that's flooding and the wind is blowing him like crazy and he can barely stand up. Yes, it's a bucket list. I want to be him.
This is Brandy Bryant, live from out in the hurricane. And they're just getting sideways rain into their face.
I would sit down and just go flying. I would love it.
Yeah, you don't have the weight to handle that job. You just get blown around like a leaf. They'd have to tie you to a tree. That would even be better.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I love the people who are posting pictures of Jim Cantori in the airport. They're like, when you see Jim Cantori in your airport, you know something's going wrong.
Shit's getting real.
You're in trouble. So we've been watching, and it's just like hours and hours of hurricane forecast. At one point today, we're like, we got to watch some football or something. We're just overwhelmed with
and the track
stuff.
Completely took a different course. It was supposed to stay directly in the middle of the state. If you follow hurricanes and the way that their winds are, the worst of the wind and the rain is usually to the northeast of the storm. And we were happy it was going up the state and more on the east side because right. we were going to get the backside of the storm, which made us a little bit more calmer about it. But now it shifted all the way to the west side of the state. And, you know, now we're getting the other side of the storm, which is going to bring a lot heavier winds. But yeah. when it hits shoreline, it just dropped down to a category two. So I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad.
The problem is it's still going to pull and create all these cyclonic winds, which now we are on the east side of the storm,
right.
which is where and we have this problem in Central Florida. I don't know if it's because of our landmass. Even when there's bad thunderstorms here, we get a lot of tornado type activity. So we're waiting and seeing how that goes tonight. Like I said, we just had a tornado warning here a few minutes ago, and there's already been, since 5 o'clock, I think five others in our area. So that's the thing that's, I think, most scary. I think our winds, they've predicted that around 9 o'clock tonight, we should get up to 80 mile an hour winds, which is, that's significant. I mean, that's scary.
No,
that's enough to take down any of our trees. So that's where we were scared. But then if you add a tornado into that could come through the area, then it's really scary. So it's going to be a bit of a stressful night, and hopefully we'll come through it without any major issues. So we will see. But the other thing I want to talk about on here was the effect on the islands.
Devastating.
We've been following some of the cruisers and that have cruiser blogs and other things down in the islands. A couple specific were Where Do the Coconuts Grow? Have a really big blog for years, and Wind Traveler. And they went into business together, I think, a couple years ago and bought a couple day charter cats. And so they have a charter business in St. Thomas. So they can't leave there. They live there on their boats, and they need to be there all year long because the cruise ships come in and they need to take passengers out and run their business. So I think the wives and the kids evacuated, and the husband stayed behind to kind of, they have some friends that put them up in a secure house that was well built. And the result was that a storm came through, absolutely devastated St. Martin, St. Thomas, Barbado. They said where they were staying in St. Thomas, the roof was completely torn off this super hurricane proof home that they mm-hmm. thought that was protected, and it lost its roof. It took them over a day to get down through the roads, cutting up trees, getting to just be able to get to a dinghy that they had stored so that they could get across the bay to wherever their boats were. And they thought maybe there was a chance that the boats survived. And unfortunately, it appears that while one of the boats was floating, everything was ripped off on it. And then they got inside it and the hull had been breached. And it was just, it's awful.
It's sad.
It's just, you know, to hear the stories of these people just losing everything. And then the locals who don't have a whole lot to begin with, losing so much. And then to turn, you know, something that's bad into something that just turns awful is the stories that came out the last night and the day before, that as soon as the storm was passed, that people were coming out with guns and looting, and it became absolute chaos on the street. They said it was like a war zone, that if, you know, you got caught on the street, you were probably going to get robbed. People were getting pulled out of their houses at gunpoint so that people could say, oh, you have a nice house, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
And so that's been happening for the last 48 hours. And so it just makes it really stressful. But I guess as of this morning, because it's the British Virgin Islands and the British Navy was able to get on site and restore order and get some stores back open and things back under control. So it's good to see that. But these guys are going to have a tremendous amount of cleanup. You know, some of the other things that we saw as cruisers, and we dream of going to the British Virgin Islands someday, you hear of all these famous cruiser watering holes like Pussers and Foxies, the Soggy Dollar. Every single one of them is gone. Gone. Everything is gone. There's nothing left. The hospital is gone. The schools are gone. Everything is absolutely destroyed. So they're going to need a lot of help to get things recovered. And we're going to put a link in the show notes. There is a recovery link that you can donate.
And everything goes directly to rebuilding, helping, furnishing.
Absolutely.
So anything you guys can do.
And the Red Cross too. I mean, the Red Cross is, they're doing a lot of good job on Harvey before us. And I know in Florida, there'll be a lot of recovery efforts. It's the best thing. If you didn't, if you get a chance, there's a go on YouTube and search CBS Sunday Morning did a special on giving to, giving donations to people in need. And they give all these stories of people with good intentions, but they give things that just aren't helpful. And they said the number one thing you can do is give money. That yep.
They use it where it's absolutely
they
necessary.
Use it locally. They use it locally at local businesses that helps rebuild the local environment. So before you think of sending something, you know, on your own somewhere, or the community you live in is getting a bunch of stuff together to send over somewhere, the best thing to do is just send money. So
you think it's not personable sending money, but it's the best thing that you can absolutely do. Yeah. So
they talked to so many recovery experts that said it just, that is the number one thing. It's the most thoughtful thing you can do is send money. So that's been going on, and we're going to brace here. You know, I guess the islands also got hit by Jose, which is another storm that was coming up right after it. Fortunately, it's turned out to sea now, so we don't have to worry about it in Florida, but we're going to hang tight here, and our prayers go out to everybody, all the cruisers. There's still so many people. That was the only one I didn't mention is Carolyn from the boat galley.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear from them.
Currently dealing with this. They left their boat on the mooring in Boot Key Harbor, where we had met with them.
We just did
the podcast on spending our whole time down a Marathon, and that is ground zero of where the hurricane came ashore.
The eye went right over.
So they've left their boat on the mooring. We exchanged emails with them today. They're in Pensacola and just waiting to hear what's going on with the boat. But there's just so many people that are affected that either live on their boats or live on the coastline that are going to take a long time. It's really going to affect their families. So our prayers go out to them, and we're going to take a break here. But we're going to do a couple of these updates.
Yeah, a couple segments. Keep you guys in the who and the what of a hurricane in Florida.
We're going to come back. It's probably, it's about 7:30 now. We'll do one more update tonight as the storm increases, and then one tomorrow morning when it's kind of at its max. And we'll see how it all turns out. Hopefully, we have good news at the end of this.
Yeah, we will. Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay, we are back for our update on the hurricane. It's about 2:00 in the morning. The storm has been increasing all night long. And as you can hear in the background here, we're just really, the wind's increasing a lot. We've had kind of rain all night, just getting worse and worse.
It's getting blown away.
Yeah, it's been really bad. So we're kind of coming to the peak of the storm here. And, you know, it just... we can't keep this up anymore.
Yeah, we're just sitting in our living room at our dining room table.
So it's not even the night of the storm. It is now, Thursday.
It is Thursday.
So the storm was on Sunday night and Monday morning, and we survived.
We did. It was intense, but we're here. We're safe. Everything's good.
That was a actual recording of the storm that we did during the storm. But
yes, that was definitely the wind from the Hurricane Irma coming through.
So. We just got so tired that night. We were just exhausted from...
Lack of sleep,
the whole storm.
The worrying.
The prep, everything, and waiting for it to come. It was about 2:30 in the morning on Monday when the eye passed literally right over the top of our town.
Which we weren't expecting.
Yeah, no.
When it became landfall into Florida, they were still predicting that it was going to go up the West Coast. And then the last weather update, I think, which was at like 8-something, they said that they felt that it was going to start making an easterly, a northeasterly move, and predicted it to come straight over us. And it absolutely did. But not until 2:30 in the morning. So it was a long day.
Yeah, but we survived. You know, we were very lucky because the the house, the boat, everything survived without any damage. But it is, was just a disaster area. We'll post some pictures and videos along with the, podcast here. And it, there was not a square foot of our yard that was not covered in some kind of debris.
Yeah. Our grass was not green from grass. It was dark green from leaves and branches and twigs, which was a mess. Yeah. It was an it looked like a war zone. Absolutely.
On a positive note, since we moved in the house with all these big trees, I've been saying we need to hire someone to trim the trees. And Irma took care of that.
Absolutely.
So probably saved a couple $1,000s in tree trimming.
Yeah, we didn't have one tree large limb fall. Now, our neighbors had two trees very close to us come down in our backyard onto our fence. And then on their side of the house, in between our houses, it came down. But other than that, you know, it's just, it's debris. It was easy. No, well, it wasn't easy. It took hours to clean up.
It's been a long, hot, sweaty week. It's been a lot of cleanup, just hours and hours of getting stuff back to normal. But we're very thankful that we didn't have any problems. The boat came through just fine. It's got a lot of debris, or it did have a lot of debris before we cleaned it up and got a little bit of water inside, but not too bad. So we really made out well. And I've got one more tree to cut up tomorrow, and then we should be completely taken care of. So we're excited about that. And we lost power about 10 o'clock.
No, actually, it was like 11:15. I checked on, I think I had sent a message to my parents letting them know that we finally lost power, and it was at 11:15. So. Okay,
so 11:15, yeah. The night of the storm, and then we got it back on Tuesday night?
Yep, Tuesday around 8:30. And
I got the power back
yes,
on.
Yes, you definitely worked your magic on that one.
I had just finished putting a temporary air conditioner into the master bedroom so that we could run it off of our little generator and have at least a cool place to sleep. The bedroom would be the only air-conditioned room of the house. And after a long day of cleaning up, just sweaty and dirty. And so I came in. Of course, we live on our house has well water, so we had no water pressure because I don't have the generator's not powerful enough to power the well. And so I came in, set up our trusty solar shower from the boat in our bathroom, took a fairly frigid shower because the solar shower, it was not very sunny out all day. So it didn't get very warm. So just finished doing that and having a nice cold shower in there. And I was just drying off and our son knocked on the door and said, "Power's back on." So I made
but
the
I got
sacrifice.
A hot shower.
Yeah, Brandy got the hot shower. So I made the sacrifice. We got the power back on and we survived.
It really makes you cherish the small things that you have on a regular basis.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We are definitely the lucky ones and only gone 2 days with no power. There's people who are still out with no power. And just, you know, we're thankful. We're thankful that we only were out for 2 days and we just couldn't imagine. But, you know, these guys worked hard to get the power on where they have so far and they're still continuously working. So thanks to those linemen for sure.
We did suffer slight injuries during the storm. The first one occurred when we decided the storm was getting stronger and it was heading right our way. And you always worry about blowing out garage doors. So I decided it'd probably be smart for us to back the car up to the garage door and so that it had something to blow against and not totally collapse inward. And so we went out in the garage and put the car in neutral and nudged it back up against the garage door. And when we finished, I didn't realize that we'd also had the garbage cans pulled into the garage. We had to move them around so that we could get the car moved. And as I was moving things around, I think I also unplugged the garage door because I didn't want somebody hitting the button and it ruining the car.
Right.
And at the same time, realized that where I had moved the garbage can from, I was standing in that exact spot. And there it was fire ants in the garage from the garbage.
From the garbage can.
And I got bit like a dozen times by fire ants in the dark, jumping around the garage. So that was the first injury. And then Brandy woke up like the day later with
it was Tuesday morning, you know, swollen after we did eyes. All the debris on Monday morning.
So from all of the debris pickup and everything, I think you got some kind of allergic reaction and her eye was pretty much swollen shut. So we look like I'm all bit up and scratched up from branches and she's got a swollen eyeball. But that was the only real problems we had. So we came out pretty good on that. And we did rescue two squirrels from the yard. We kept hearing this screaming out in the yard, and it sounded like a bird or something. And I finally was able to track it down to two different areas, and there were little squirrels that had fallen out of nests in the trees. And seeing that we are expert squirrel rescuers from our past, we knew that if we just wrapped them up and set them under the tree, that the mothers would eventually come back. So hopefully the word is getting out around the yard that we are friendly to the squirrel population.
They'll stop chewing on our boat.
They will stop chewing on our boat. So that's I've noticed a few more areas on our cup holders and things that they've decided to munch on.
Yes.
At least they're cheap items that they're chewing on.
So. We have bought a cage. We might start trying to catch them and relocate them. So
yeah.
We'll update you guys on the squirrel catching later.
I plan to only relocate the sailing squirrels. The ones that
come to the boat.
Yeah, decide that they want to go for an adventure on our boat are going to get a true adventure across town.
Well, isn't it? Am I just thinking this, or is this true that squirrels kind of migrate in the same areas all the time?
You mean,
like they only kind of stay around the same areas. So if there are specific squirrels at our boat, you're going to get them? Am I just being wrong?
Boating squirrels? I don't know.
Never mind.
We get a lot of...
like they don't venture very far.
We get a lot
far.
Of acorns or some kind of nut in our backyard. I think that's why they all like our backyard. But. So we got those. We'll take care of the squirrels. And hopefully we're going to, you know, we were hoping that we would get, this would be it, the big storm for the year. But since the storm has gone away, Jose was coming back up through the island.
I think Jose's drunk.
Yeah.
Jose's been drinking too much tequila and he's wrapping around in circles. But I think he's still veering north.
I didn't see what the update was this morning. But Jose did a full circle, went out in the Atlantic, turned back around and came back right towards Florida. And as of yesterday morning, they were still showing that it had a possibility hitting Florida. But
oh, see, I haven't looked.
Yeah, the USA model said it could come back this way, but we've been so busy trying to get
there. See, I think the USA model says coming this way. I think the Europe model says going north still. So.
Right. So, but on top of that, this morning, I saw another update that there are two storms just like Irma that are formed and are heading directly back this way again, but it all depends on what our weather systems are, whether they'll make it all the way here, but it's definitely nerve-wracking to just get done with one and have more coming. But
I just pray that the islands don't get hit again, because I don't know how much more they could even possibly handle.
Yeah, it's rough. It's you know, we just continue seeing more and more updates. They're trying to get it under control, but there's no water, no food, still outbreaks of chaos and looting, and so they're trying to get it under control, but hopefully that'll settle down and they can rebuild. I mean, the other bad thing is that they're based on tourism, and now they've lost all the infrastructure to really welcome tourists.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to figure out a way to get at least the basics back so they can get people traveling again to the islands and make some money. So it's really rough. And then the Keys are hurting too. The updates we got this week, FEMA is saying that up to 25% of the homes are destroyed and unlivable. Some of the mooring fields down in Key West really got hit hard. We have a friend that's got a couple boats down there that he thinks are gone. It's hard because there's no communications. Carolyn from Boat Galley finally got an update from a satellite picture. Their boat is floating. The mast is still up,
but they don't know if
you really don't
damage.
Know until you get there if it's just been battered by other boats going by. So we pray for them and hopefully they get a good result.
Yeah, you got to just imagine the Keys are so much smaller than the state of Florida, and the Keys had the direct hit of the eye at what, 150 mile per hour?
Yeah, it was probably 150.
When the eye came over us, we had, I think our max was about 75 mile per hour winds, but we had sustained 40 to 60 throughout the night. So I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine being in the Keys.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, it's rough. So
it was scary for us sitting in our living room. You know, we're in a concrete house. It's an older house, so it's made of concrete, but you can just hear your windows howling and the wind going through and the gust when the gust would come through. It's just very nerve-wracking, and it came through at night, so you can't look out your window and see what's going on. All you can just think about is what's going on and hearing stuff hitting the roof and the branches.
We just kept hearing branches come down on the roof.
We would constantly jump up and grab the spotlight. Oh, the spotlight is another thing that we used off the boat. And we would, you know, go and look at the big trees that we have closest to the house and see what the branches were doing. But it was intense, I have to say. You know, we might have just had a cat two when it went over us, or cat one.
Yeah, it was probably even down.
It was either a one or a two when it went over us. And it just, I couldn't fathom being in the islands with almost 200 mile per hour winds, or in the Keys with 150. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. So scary. Hopefully we will never have to face that on the boat. I think it's definitely a lesson to a lot of people that have, because we haven't had a storm like that in so long, that they said, oh, you know, I might be able to survive it. A lot of the diehards in the Keys, I've seen them interviewing people that have gone through, you know, dozens of storms and said, oh, I've always rode them out. And they've talked to some of these old timers, and a lot of them have said, I don't think I'll ever ride one out again. No, that's way. How scary it was. That's how, when there's 200 mile an hour winds, or
I don't think I even want, once we do get the bigger boat, I don't even want to be in the track of hurricane season. I think it really makes me want to either be north of the path or south of the path.
Right.
You know, down past Grenada, enjoying, there's so many beautiful places you can go without being in the path of hurricane season. So I just, I'll pass on that.
Scary stuff.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we'll get everything done and can get out in the boat and have some trips soon that we can share with you. We did have a trip planned for
this weekend,
and it has changed a bit. We were actually going to go truck tenting
at Disney World, believe it or not.
We're going to go truck tenting to Disney.
There's a place called Fort Wilderness where you can have RVs, regular campsites with tents. And we would obviously use the regular campsite with tents, but we would have our truck tent. And we were looking through something last night while we were out at dinner, and I don't know what made us think of it, but we were like, you know, they possibly could not even be open. And lo and behold, they're not open until, they don't know yet.
They said the earliest is probably the 20th. The rest of Disney's open, but it's one of the last areas that was hit hard. And imagine it's a campground, lots of trees.
Right.
So they said they're working hard to get it cleaned up, but our reservation for this weekend got canceled. Now, the fortunate thing is... Disney stepped up and said, we can't, you know, get you into the campground, but if you would still like to come, we will put you up in one of the hotels.
Yeah, so we're going to go play tourist this weekend.
Which is...
We haven't done that in probably 4 years, because I worked out at Disney before court reporting for 14 years. I served out at Rainforest Cafe, and we would go a couple times a year, but... You know, it's a lot different now because we don't just get to walk in, but...
Well, our free time has become more boating and other, so we just don't do a whole lot of local things. But so we're looking forward to it. They upgraded us. This hotel is probably 3 times the value of what we were paying for a campsite. So we actually made out there, and hopefully we'll have some good weather, and it'll be a nice break after this stressful week of getting everything done. So that's, I think, it for the update on the storm. Hopefully we won't have to do another one of these this year. And I think we came out of it very lucky. So that is it for hurricane news. And up next, we are going to talk about all the products that we used throughout the hurricane to survive that came from our boat.
Absolutely. I'm impressed with how much we actually used off the boat.
Absolutely. We did. So we'll be right back. Okay, so we wanted to talk about all the products that we used during the hurricane that actually came off of our boat, and it was most of our survival gear, the things that we needed to really use to prep and help us get by after the power went out. And it was amazing. We did use quite a few products.
And these are things that we use every single boat trip. Like, the stuff is you not ever put where we can't get to it. So it was.
So the first thing we had that came in really handy, especially when you're trying to get around at night and find things is the LED headlamp.
Yep.
Because you're trying to work with your hands, you're trying to find something, and it just goes wherever your head goes, and you don't even have to think about holding the flashlight. So that was the first thing, and I've got a couple that I've picked out from Amazon that we're going to put in a list for you guys that we have got really good reviews, and the one we use I can't find, but these are just as good. One's rechargeable, one's battery powered. The other thing we used is our Coleman stove.
Yeah, gotta have coffee.
Yeah, next morning, gotta have coffee. So that came in handy. Our boat doesn't have a built-in stove. And if you ever get a boat or you get a boat that it's got a old crappy stove that you don't like or you don't like to use, these Coleman stoves are just
fantastic.
Reliable. They're easy to set up. Ours is the old green, crappy camp stove, but it's really, really worked well.
We use the camping stove in the morning for coffee, but at night when we didn't have the power, we were using our regular grill. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one we used is our LED spotlight that we have on the boat, the rechargeable spotlight. We have a one that's made by Stanley. It's called a Fat Max. Worked really good every time we heard a tree drop in the backyard, we'd run around both sides of the house, looking out the doors, trying to see if there was anything where water would come in. So we use those. We use these LED work lights. I got them from Harbor Freight, but I found them on Amazon and I'll list them for you guys. They're just these little pucks that have like a flashlight on one end and then it's battery powered. And then there's like 27 LEDs on the other side.
Just a wider view. Yeah.
And they're great just to light up a whole room. You just shine them at the ceiling and it lights up the whole room. Our rain gear, we have this breathable, waterproof rain gear that's great. It's real lightweight. In Florida, we can't use real heavy offshore type rain gear. And this stuff works great. So I'm going to list that for you guys. Number one item, most valuable award is the Honda 2000 generator.
Yeah, we actually posted a few things on social media throughout the hurricane, and it was funny. One guy was like, wow, that looks really funny not being on the bow of the boat. And we absolutely agreed that it looked terrible sitting on the ground in the backyard. So it was a lifesaver, yeah, for sure.
Little 2000 watt generator. We ran a full-size refrigerator, a full-size chest freezer.
Fans.
Two fans, charged all our phones, and I tested it the next day when I'd set up the air conditioner, the 5000 BTU air conditioner in our bedroom. I ran all of those items and ran the air conditioner for 30 minutes, turning on and off, and it ran them all.
Yeah,
it did great. It was pretty much handling everything we needed in the house.
And how much gas does that go through in 9 hours? How much did we determine?
On most loads, it's about a gallon of gas. One fill up that is about a gallon of gas in the thing, and it'll go about 8 to 9 hours.
Great.
Yeah. So that was it. It won most valuable item award.
It's getting a medal.
Yeah. And then the little air conditioner that could, because we use it on the boat. We use it in the truck tent, and now we use it as a hurricane
backup
for our master bedroom that we can throw it in the window and keep one room cold. So it's got the multi-purpose award.
Yeah.
Because it goes everywhere. It would be on the truck tent this weekend, but...
We won't need it.
We won't need it.
Bummer.
And then just a couple of the little items we had. The solar shower. I pulled that out of the boat.
It didn't get so solarized.
It did not get, because it was pretty overcast and it did not get very warm, but it did serve as my shower.
Yeah,
and took
care. You were able to clean up, that's for sure.
And we used our Bluetooth speaker for music when the power was out. And LED candles, those little kind of flickering battery-powered candles. They had a little ambiance.
Yep.
Kind of warmed up the atmosphere when we're...
While we were scared to death.
Scared to death, so... So those were the items. It was amazing. It's so many things you use on a boat, as we talked about earlier in the podcast, that you're living off the grid, and it comes in really handy when you go through a hurricane or you lose your power. So keep that in mind when you're investing in these things. You buy a boat that they could come in handy in the event of a disaster, the apocalypse, the end of the world.
Oh, stop. And all of this stuff is in our Amazon store. So make sure that you just click the link and you can check things out through our Amazon link and find all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'll put it all in the show notes. And as always, we really appreciate the support we get through the Amazon store. Anything you buy on Amazon, just go to our website or to the show notes here, and there's a link that you can go through. And then once you go into that link, anything you buy on Amazon, doesn't have to be boating related, not really helps us out. We get a little commission from Amazon. You pay the same price.
You pay the same.
And that's how we're supporting the podcast. So we do not have any sailing and cruising news this podcast. I know everybody's going to be disappointed, but we are just out of time, out of energy.
We just wanted to give you guys a little overview of what we went through. You know, it could have been worse. It could have been better. We survived, and we just wanted you guys to kind of hear what happened. So,
yep. So that is it for this week. We'd love to hear from you guys, so please reach out to us. Email us at crew@thesailingroad.com. Just tell us anything that's going on with your sailing and cruising life. Just reach out and say hello. We'd love to hear from you. And that is it for this week. So thanks for listening, and we really appreciate all your support, and we hope to see you on the water soon.
See you, everybody.